From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to share this time with you on what a glorious day, beautiful day outside today. I hope you're getting a chance and have gotten a chance to get out and enjoy some of the beauty of this glorious day the Lord has blessed us with during this Eastertide. And I thank you for being a part of my day, my friends, praying you are having a happy, holy, and blessed day, and welcoming you again to the start of a new week together on this Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, now into the second half of April. Today, I'm going to share with you some of our Holy Father's Regina Caeli message from Sunday, where he talked about sharing our encounter with Christ, that makes our encounters even more beautiful. And kind of tying that in, there was a reflection yesterday by Father Fernandez in Conversation with God on Christian naturalness. You know, during this beautiful Easter season, our first Mass reading every day is from the Acts of the Apostles, the early church, and I love the Acts of the Apostles because it really gives us, should give us, incentive to live the way that the first century church was living, the early Christians, the first Christians, with that same zeal and enthusiasm and desire to spread the gospel. So we'll talk about that. But first, we're going to pray. And as always, my brothers and sisters, I do invite you to join me in praying this parents' deliverance prayer. As we know, the family is under very, very horrible attack these days. Satan hates the family. He hates families especially that are trying to live holy lives and live faithfully their discipleship, wants to destroy them in any way he can. And that then bleeds out into society, as St. Pope John Paul II would often say when he was our Holy Father, that as the family goes, so goes society. And so we have to really pray hard and work hard to strengthen our families, our domestic churches. So we'll pray this prayer of deliverance. As I've shared with you, your spouses do have divine authority over their own bodies, their spouses, and their minor children. This prayer that we pray has a parent invoking that authority and casting out demons and evil from them, themselves, their spouse, their minor children. And then also the prayer we pray invoking God's mighty power to heal and liberate our adult children. So we know that once they're out of our authority, that but we can ask God to, who does have authority, obviously, over all things, over the enemy to heal and liberate them, our adult children. So let's begin, my brothers and sisters, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my friends, we do raise up those very special intentions now for which we are praying. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parents' prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And let's pray our prayers to Saint Michael and to our Blessed Lady as Holy Father asks us to pray these two specific prayers to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And the world, my friends. We're seeing the manifestation of evil all around the world, especially in the Middle East right now. So we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God, do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, my friends, thank you for praying. And, you know, this prayer that we pray, the Parents' Deliverance Prayer, I take this from the CatholicExorcism.org website, CatholicExorcism.org. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti heads this organization. He's an American exorcist. He wrote a book. We had him on a couple of years ago to talk about the book. It's called Diary of an American Exorcist, where he relates stories to us about his work. But he does have these wonderful, beautiful deliverance sessions once a month on YouTube for free. Anybody can attend. And if you go to their website, CatholicExorcism.org, CatholicExorcism.org, there's a section on deliverance prayers for the laity that we as lay people can pray. And this is where I get the whole slew of them for all different needs and reasons. But this parents' deliverance prayer, I think, is a very powerful one, especially these days when the family is under such horrible attack. And we need to be praying regularly and devoutly for the family, because there is such disregard for this basic cell of society. I was going back and forth whether I should get into this, but I got to tell you, last night we were watching the news. You know, we live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, so our newscasts come out of Philadelphia. We watch the Philadelphia channels, and the 10 o'clock, I think it was the 10 o'clock news on CW Philly, whatever that channel, who knows, CW Philly. And the weather guy, he was talking about yesterday. Yesterday reached, I think, 80, and in the Philadelphia area anyway, close to 83, 84 degrees. It was very warm yesterday. Beautiful day, but very warm. And he was highlighting the effects of that type of outside temperature on the inside of a car if the windows are closed. You know, we hear this all the time. So he was saying, for instance, in 85-degree weather, with the windows closed, in 10 minutes, the inside temperature inside the car gets to be about 105, 106 degrees. And if in 15 minutes, it gets to be 118 degrees. Okay, that's nice information. It's good to know. But then he went into, and he's a young guy. I think he has a couple adopted kids of his own, young kids. He went into how we should always be aware and not leave children in the car in those types of temperatures. Now, I had to go back. I had to go back and replay it a few times to see exactly what he said, because I was appalled. He was saying, you know, people have children in the car, in the back seat, and, you know, we're all busy with social media and we're texting and things, and we could tend to forget that they're, you know, and leave the children in the car. I had to stop it there. Wait a minute. First of all, what are you doing texting and on social media while you're driving a car with children in the back seat? He was very nonchalant about that. That was an excuse to forget that you have children in the back seat of a car and leave them in a sweltering environment because you were texting or on social media, so your mind was elsewhere. And then he gave some advice on how to remember that there are children in the back seat of your car before you leave on a hot day. Leave them in the car. He said, you know, so we're busy. We're, you know, with social media, texting, we can forget. So he said, do this. He goes, you know, maybe leave your purse in the back seat or something valuable so that when you get out of the car, you'll remember to look in the back seat. So your purse and some other material item of value will remind you to check your back seat before you leave the car because there are children there. How warped is that? How warped is that? With Charlotte, we played it back. We couldn't believe what we were hearing. So you're putting more value on your purse and something else, your wallet, than you are on your own children. You won't remember that there are the most valuable thing you have in your life, your own flesh and blood, your children, who depend on you for everything. You forget about them in the back seat, but you'll remember your purse or your wallet. And to me, that just exemplified society's attitude. And I don't know if it's this guy's probably in his mid-30s. You know, he's probably a millennial. That he would have such, that he assumed, I'm not saying he personally, but that he would assume people would have such disregard for their children. And I've seen the sign. You know, I forget where I saw it. Somewhere here in our station, radio station area in the Ewing area, going into a retail store and seeing on the door as you walk in, did you leave a child in the car or something to remind the person? I just don't get it. But it, to me, again, it just exemplified or highlighted or magnified the attitude that people have in our society today and where their priorities are, where their values are, that on a hot 85-degree day, you're going to close your windows and leave your child in the car and forget they're there, but you'll remember you left your purse in the back seat. That'll remind you to look in the back seat. Just, oh, I forgot, there's my kid. My jaw just dropped. In fact, this morning, Sean and I were having our coffee, and we said, I still can't believe that guy said that. That the great way to remind yourself that your children are in the back seat of a car on a hot day before you leave the car and forget they're there, put something of value in the back seat that'll remind you to check the back seat. It warped. Just warped. And it's very sad, so sad. I think that he did mention a statistic that last year, I think there were 36, 37 children who died in situations like that in this country. I just don't get it. The lack of value we place. I mean, our priorities are just so skewed. Not everybody, obviously. You're not, I'm sure. but if you just talk so openly about it, it's not an isolated thing. It's pretty rampant that people would actually do that, and that they would place more value on their possessions than they would on their own children. I don't know. Now let's go to Holy Father's Regina Caeli message from this past Sunday, where Pope Francis talked about sharing our encounter with Christ, making our encounters even more beautiful. First, the Holy Father did address the situation in the Middle East, very, very dangerous situation. I'm sure you saw the news accounts of those missiles and drones that were being shot down over Israel. They said they got 99% of them, and only one little girl was injured. But now Israel is threatening to retaliate, and Iran threatens back. If you retaliate, we're going to come at you even stronger. The United States right now is staying, so they're going to stay out of it. And Iran says they're buying or getting weapons from Russia. I mean, it's a very, very dangerous situation. So the Holy Father obviously expressed enormous concern over the escalating tensions over there in the Middle East. And this kind of spurred, I guess, his teaching. But anyway, he asked us all to pray for that situation, and asked those parties who were involved, Iran, Israel, and others, that they stop before it's too late. So the Holy Father made his reflection against the gospel for Sunday, where he exhorted Christians to share their personal encounters with Christ, noting that it is, quote, the most beautiful thing we have to tell. The most beautiful thing we have to tell. And the gospel where the two disciples returning from Emmaus meet with the apostles in the upper room and recount their encounter with Jesus. Holy Father said, Jesus arrives precisely while they are sharing the story of the encounter with him. A message, he said, that for us today underscores the importance of sharing the faith. This has been a battle in our culture for the past generation or two, right? Where we've been so enculturated, using a favorite word of St. Pope John Paul II, we become so enculturated that we are in most cases, where the sharing of the faith is being repressed. Don't talk about that here, because you're going to offend people. Keep that in your church, in your synagogue, in your temple, in your house, but don't talk about God or Jesus in the public square, because people will get offended, right? And so we've become so enculturated that we are hesitant to share the faith at times. So we share it certainly among friends and family and acquaintances who we know will be accepting of what we have to share. But, in a situation where there may be people of different beliefs and different faiths, for us to share our faith with them, we've been told, don't do that, right? But Holy Father said that it's important for us to share our faith, obviously. He observed that the message is often drowned out by a frenzy of messages, which are often superficial and useless, and which often reveal an indiscreet curiosity, or worse still, arise from gossip and malice. Pope Francis said, they are news that have no purpose. On the contrary, they do harm. And amid the deluge of counterproductive messages, the Holy Father called on Christians to share their personal testimonies of encountering Christ, not by being a lecturer to others, but by sharing the unique moments in which we perceived the Lord alive and close. You know, people are very free to share their messages about the world and worldliness and possessions and power and wealth, you know, frenzy of messages, the Holy Father said. But they could be counterproductive. because they're drawing people into the world and of the world. Now, of course, our Lord said we have to go into the world. And this is what Pope Francis is saying, go into the world to share our encounter with Jesus, what this has done for us in our life. You know, just like we go back to the early church, where people saw these wonderful first Christians and just see how they love each other. You know, they are of one heart and one mind. Are we today the same? Are we like those first Christians of one heart and one mind? Can people see by how we live our lives, how we love each other, how we take to heart the message of Jesus to love one another as I have loved you? Are we willing to share that with others? You know, that's one of the beautiful things, my friends. We say it during our radiothon and at other times, but especially during our radiothon, that's one of the great benefits and fruits of an apostolate such as this, a media apostolate, a radio, Catholic television, Catholic internet, a Catholic streaming audio, that when you tune in, you're going to get that message of encounter. You know, I'm not a theologian. I don't have advanced degrees in theology. My Bachelor of Arts degree from Seton Hall University is in communications, broadcasting. I did minor in theology at Seton Hall, but that's as far as it went. What I share with you here and others, many others, everybody really who's on the radio, whether it's from local hosts and programs that we have here or from EWTN, it's people basically sharing with you and with our listeners, whoever tunes in, our encounter with Christ. You know, I was thinking back today when I was having my breakfast and having my cup of coffee. I don't know why, maybe because I'm getting old. Thinking about my life in my 20s, when I was in my 20s. And a lot of people wouldn't know me today who knew me then. They'd wonder, wait a minute, that's not the Jim Manfredonia I knew. Now, I never strayed. I never left the church officially anyway. I think I've told you maybe, I can think of maybe twice in my life during that period anyway, where I intentionally missed Mass on Sunday. I remember going to the park, telling my mom I was going to Mass, and I went to Colonial Park in Franklin Township in Somerset. We lived in that area and just hung out at the park. It was a nice day on a Sunday, and I was rebelling against something. And maybe one other time. That's the only time I really remember. But I wasn't faithfully living my discipleship all the time either. I grew into that. Thanks be to God, the Lord led me. As I'm sure many of you, you know, you look back on your high school years, your college years, your early 20s, mid-20s, especially if you are of my generation growing up in the late 60s and 70s into the 80s, you know, sometimes anything went, right? But today I can sit here in my 70th year of life on earth and share with you the beauty of what the Lord has blessed me with in my life in ways that, you know, aren't overly theological or in any way preachy. Well, maybe sometimes a little preachy. But just sharing with you, you know, my mistakes, my faults, but knowing that I want you to encounter Christ as well. This is why we do what we do. I mean, this is why the Lord placed this on my heart so many years ago, to work hard to bring about an apostolate like this. So there's always a voice of the church present to anybody, anytime, who wants to tune in. You know, we've read the statistics of mass attendance dropping, you know, over the past number of years, continually dropping. People are not going to the churches. But this is a way, Catholic radio, Catholic media, for the churches to go to the people, wherever they are, to help them encounter Christ. So Holy Father went on and he said, he acknowledged that it can often be a struggle to discuss these encounters with families and friends and a broader community. But the Holy Father advocated what he said is persistence in doing so, as it will make our personal encounters and social environments even more beautiful. And he called upon all Christians to conduct a series of interior examinations. Okay, so let's do that. Here's what he said. Listen carefully. He said, let's ask ourselves these questions, these interior examinations. Have I ever spoken about my encounter with Jesus with someone? Think about that. I'm very blessed because I can do it every day as I come to you and share. And it's not always a direct, you know, encounter, but rather a fruit of an encounter or you know, an encounter that's not so obvious, right? But have I and have you ever spoken about your encounter with Christ with someone? Have I ever simply made a gift of it to family members, colleagues, loved ones, and those I associate with? Have I ever simply made a gift of it to family members, colleagues, loved ones, and those I associate with? And finally, Holy Father said, let's ask ourselves, am I in turn interested in listening to what others have to tell me about their encounter with Christ? Let other people share it with you. You know, this is, again, I can go back a couple weeks ago when we had our radiothon. We do it all the time. When we have our radiothons, we try to get people to share their encounter with Jesus through our apostolate, not because of us, but through us. You know, we can go back to 2007, the year 2000, let's go back to the year 2004, 20 years ago. There was no Catholic radio in New Jersey. No Catholic radio at all in New Jersey. Didn't exist. The Lord placed it on our hearts, I say our hearts, Cheryl and I, and others who joined us, to do whatever we could do in order to bring Catholic radio to the area. Now, it's been a 20-year process. And here we are 20 years later, and we have four Catholic radio stations that Domestic Church Media owns and operates here in New Jersey. And we've broadened our reach globally because we use all the other technologies that are available to us to bring this message out to literally millions of souls every day. Not because of us, not us, it's God working through us. Again, we're just the instruments, but we're sharing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, how we and others are sharing with you, you know, throughout the day, not just me, but we, all the programs that we bring to you, how they have encountered Christ in very many wide, varied, and unique ways. And what an inspiration that is for others. And then, as I said, during our radiothon, we bring people on and they share their stories. You know, in many of the interviews that Cheryl and I do on Friday's program with authors and others, sharing their experiences, it's all encounter. It's all basically how people have encountered Jesus Christ in this life and the great benefits that are received because of that. The world doesn't want to hear that. The world does not want us to share that message or those encounters with anyone, because it will inspire others to be curious and investigate. Gee, I want to have that joy. I want to be happy like they are. I want to be joyful like they are. I want to love and be loved like they are and they do. That's the message, my friends. And that's what Holy Father was encouraging in his Regina Caeli on Sunday. Sharing that encounter with Christ. I'll take a break. When I come back, we're going to talk about the Christian naturalness. Christian naturalness. So stay where you are. There's lots more to come today. Uncomfort Me. Don't go away. Be right back. Downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune in to our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything. Yeah, at all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I have carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people. Question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic Moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine only to become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back on this beautiful, glorious April 16th, 2024. What a beautiful day. The sky is deep, deep blue today, right? Haven't seen it that blue in a long time. Deep, deep blue. So hope you're enjoying it. And I thank you for being a part of my day on this beautiful April day. And we're going to go to a lovely reflection by our friend Father Fernandez from In Conversation with God on Christian naturalness. So we talked about sharing our encounter with Jesus with others, and it really should become a very natural thing for us, to be a natural Christian. So let's see what Father Fernandez has to say in his reflection. This is from yesterday, actually. And again, if you don't have this series, it's a set of seven books, reflections for readings throughout our liturgical year for the three-year cycle. And they're not just a paragraph or two, it's a few pages, but not overly theological either. It's called In Conversation with God, not Conversation with God, In Conversation with God. I think it was about $100 for the whole set, but well, well worth it. I got this about, oh my goodness, almost 25 years ago, and read it regularly. And just every time I do, something jumps out at me. And you can tell it's divinely inspired, written by this Opus Dei priest, Father Francis Fernandez. So, this is from yesterday, because we're in the third week of Easter, and he refers to, you know, we're hearing in the Acts this week about St. Stephen, and he said, "The trial of Stephen unleashed a great persecution against the church." In the reading, this is from yesterday, the story of his apostolate and his martyrdom is told, and then he quotes from the Acts. "Stephen was filled with grace and power and began to work miracles and great signs among the people." And Father says the same means, almost the same words, as were used against Jesus were used against him. When they said, "We have heard him say that Jesus the Nazarene is going to destroy this place and after the traditions that Moses handed down to us." I'm sorry, and alter the traditions that Moses handed down to us. "Stephen proclaimed bravely his belief in the risen Jesus. And even if our Lord does not ask us for our lives as he asked Stephen, he is an example to us of a coherent Christian life, lived naturally and openly, undeterred by the false scandals or by what people might say. We have to expect that at times people will judge us in a twisted manner because they fail to understand the nature of a Christian way of acting or many of the loving demands of Christ's doctrine." Well, don't we see that today, my friends, especially when it comes to some of these hot-button social issues like homosexual behavior, transgenderism, gender identity, all these things that are contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ, same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage. And when we express what we believe, abortion, of course, obviously that's the first one, euthanasia, when we express our understanding of these issues and what they are and how disordered they are because of our Christianity, well, it takes a lot of bravery to stand up today, right? To say it and express these beliefs. And we're told by Father that, you know, although the Lord is not asking our lives of us yet in this world because of our Christianity, we still need to be living our Christianity naturally and openly, undeterred, Father says, by these things. Because people will judge us in a twisted way. You know, how can you call yourself a Christian when you hate gay people? No, but whoever said that? Right? How, you know, well, you don't want them to get married, they love each other. Well, because it's not natural. It's not what God intended. I don't hate the people. You know, just like I know, I'll tell you what, last week that O.J. Simpson died? And there was a lot of editorializing about him and his guilt in the murder of his wife and her boyfriend or whatever the situation, you know, that situation. And we know that the trial was, they called the trial of the century. We probably all watched a lot of it, you know. And he was acquitted and not charged in that particular trial. But what struck me, some of the comments that I was reading, and now, did he do it? I don't know. People say he did. He did. He murdered his wife in cold blood and her wife's boyfriend. But I would read the comments. One comment said, "I hope he rots in hell," you know, and these types of things. And I thought, you know what a Christian says is, I hope that he accepted the mercy of Jesus. You know, yes, if he was guilty of that horrendous crime, and he actually did murder his wife and her boyfriend and nearly cut her head off and stabbed, and if he was guilty of that, if he did it and never was punished for it, never, I don't know what the state of his soul was. I don't know. I did read there was a friend who in the last 10 years or so was trying to tell him to embrace Christianity. I was reading that story. But to actually say, I just hope that he rots in hell, or I hope, you know, that's, we may be angry that he got away with something or think that he got away with something. But do you really ever want to hope that someone is rotting in hell who is a child of God, who was created by God, and you're praying and hoping that they're rotting in hell? See, and this is what when we talk about living our Christianity, not always easy, right? And Father says that, you know, a Christian way of acting makes many loving demands of us, right? Father said we would then have to imitate our Lord and his faithful followers, even if it meant giving our life for him, acting with serenity, leading a Christian life with all its consequences. Doubtless, it would be more comfortable to adapt ourselves to these pagan situations and lifestyles. But if we did, we could not continue to be faithful disciple of Jesus. Oh, so let's face it. There are people who openly profess their Catholicism. I'm going to talk about the president of the United States says, "I am a Catholic. I go to Mass every Sunday. I have a rosary in my pocket all the time. I pray the rosary." Yet he'll come out and say, "I will defend a woman's right to choose for her own," supporting abortion, all these things that are contrary to what he's supposed to be believing. Now, I'm not judging the man. I'm just commenting on what he says and how he acts and what he does. And he's not alone. There are many other politicians like that. There are many non-politicians. There are many people you and I know the same thing, the same way. We ourselves, at times, when we commit our sins, but we could easily adapt and not then, you know, have our consciences pricked by what we know to be true and right and righteous. Father said such situations in which we need firmness of character and fortitude in the faith can arise anywhere, at the university, at work, in the place where we go on holiday with our family. And then he's quoting from an Episcopal conference from Spain from 1985, where they wrote, in their specific activities, Catholics should be inspired by the criteria and gospel objectives lived and interpreted by the Church. Legitimate diversity of opinion in temporal matters should not detract from the necessary agreement of Catholics in defending and promoting values and projects of life derived from the morality of the gospel. You know, we have a lot that socially that we can talk about. Not the moral issues. That's pretty cut and dry. But social issues like climate change and this other stuff. You know, there can be diversity of opinion, as the Spanish Episcopal Conference said. But when it comes to defending and promoting values and morality of the gospel, there's no option there. Catholics must reject any fear of causing upset if, on account of living as faithful disciples of our Lord, their behavior is adversely interpreted or clearly rejected. One who would hide his Christian personality in the midst of an environment of pagan customs would be giving in to human respect and would do well to remember to hear those words of Jesus when he said in Matthew 10, he who denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So, again, the environment in which we live, because we have been instructed and enculturated so much so to keep our faith silent and, you know, locked up, as opposed to living it openly and speaking what we believe, Jesus warns us and has through the ages, he who denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And St. John Vianney said, you know what is the first temptation the devil presents to someone who has begun to serve God better? What do you think? This is from St. John Vianney. Do you know what is the first temptation the devil presents to someone who has begun to serve God better? It is human respect. What is our behavior like when we are with our friends at work, at social gathering? Do we show our condition as sons and daughters of God with simplicity and daring? Now, you know, we all, I'm sure, have friends, acquaintances, family members who don't believe as we do. Some of whom, especially if they're family, who were raised the same way, were taught the same things, were baptized into the church, made their sacraments, and have since long ago left. We get together, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, birthdays, family gatherings. Do we openly express our faith? Just in a natural way. It's not, again, not hitting people over the head with a catechism or a Bible, but just talking about our faith just very naturally in our Christianity. You know, today, I think with the problem today with a lot of these younger generations, and I'm and most of you probably are baby boomers, but millennials, Gen Xers, Gen Zers, whatever the next generations are, and you see it in our world. There's no diversity of opinion allowed by some people. Either think the way I do or I'm canceling you. Either you believe what I believe or we're done. And I think back to, you know, and they probably still have them, I guess. But, you know, when I was going to high school, we had debating clubs. You were taught how to effectively express yourself and listen to the other person. You know, we had the gentleman on Friday's program talking about conversations, sacred conversations, you know, listening to people and really listening to what they have to say. And we've lost a lot of that. You know, I mentioned during the interview when I remember 30 years ago listening to a Protestant evangelical program because there was no Catholic radio at the time. But he was talking about us not, and this is 30 years ago, we no longer have conversations. We have parallel monologues. No one's listening. But that's evolved into a worse situation because people don't even want to listen to a differing opinion. If you don't think and believe the way I do, you're canceled. There's no discussion. I can't tolerate you. And I think to my own life, again, using my own example, my best friend after Cheryl, of course, but my best friend, I've known him since we were 9 years old. He lived on my street. We went to the same school. Best friends all through college and to this very day. He lives in a different state, but whenever we get together, it's as if no time has passed. We have a wonderful time. He's like a brother to me. And if you drew a line and had me and him on the other side, I'm completely opposite opinions and lifestyles in so many areas of life and what we think, what we accept, what we believe, what we don't believe. But we're still friends, very good friends. And I have no problem expressing. He knows what I do for a living. He knows what, you know, my work in the apostolate. He's no longer a practicing Catholic. He was at one point when he was younger. We went to Catholic school together and a very good Catholic family. But for whatever reason, has since left the church. He and his family left the church. His political ideas are very progressive. Mine aren't, obviously, but it doesn't affect our friendship. We can listen. We can see good in each other. And that's not saying we are condoning a particular belief or you know, I don't condone a lot of the things that he believes in. I totally disagree. But we have that respect for each other. And again, I'm not afraid to express myself to him when it comes to my beliefs, my faith. And he knows that. Sometimes it seems to go down well to speak without warmth of the real truths of life, or else not to speak about them at all, Father Fernandez says. And there's a tendency to describe as a fanatic someone who speaks enthusiastically about a noble cause, such as the right to life from conception, freedom in education, or else there's a tendency to brand a person with certain adjectives if he or she has deep convictions about the meaning of life and tries to put them into practice without being intemperate, which would be alien to the lovable example of Jesus that Jesus left us. We should try to live our lives with the help of grace in a way that is replete with profound and firm Christian conviction. We are well aware, for example, that indifference in the face of God's marvels is a great evil. The consequence of lukewarmness or of a dead or sleeping faith, no matter how much people try to disguise their indifference as objectivity. In baptism, we receive the grace which saves and which gives meaning to our earthly pilgrimage. With such a great good to hand, a Christian is naturally cheerful and optimistic and seeks to communicate his happiness to those around him with an unceasing apostolate. And again, we go back to the early church, the first century church. See how they love each other. They were of one heart and one mind. They had this enormous joy about them, even in the face of persecution, because they encountered Jesus. Going back to what Holy Father was talking about at the beginning of the program, their encounter with Christ, even though the early church, with the exception of a few, never even met Jesus Christ, but saw from those who did, the apostles, the disciples, and having then received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that beautiful outpouring of grace that was received by them from Christ and then able to share with others through their witness. Such a powerful witness it was that even, you know, we shared with you last week when Peter spoke in the square there, 3,000 people joined the church because they were so affected by Peter's witness. And he wasn't scolding them. He wasn't yelling at them. He wasn't, you know, he was just sharing his encounter with Christ, what he knew to be true, and the person that he knew. And you and I, through down through the ages, although we've never met Jesus in person, we know him because we have encountered him so often in our lives. And we know that he's right here with us right now. We can't see him. We can't touch him. But we feel his presence. And so we have a desire to take what we have been given by Christ in way of our faith and to share that with so many with whom we meet, that great encounter that Holy Father was talking about earlier, that encounter with Jesus, that when we share that with others, it even enhances our encounter. You know, that's why it's so exciting for us when we do hear, mostly during our radiothon, but I get notes and cards and emails and things, but mostly during our radiothon, when we hear from people who tell us exactly what Jesus has done in their life through the work we do here. Not because of us, but through us. Christ through the work that we do here. And how lives have been changed. And again, we're totally, totally humbled by that. But it's because of that sharing of encounter, as Pope Francis was talking about at his Regina Caeli on Sunday, because of that sharing of our encounters with Jesus in many, as I said, many wide and varied ways. And sometimes it's just by observing the joy that a person has in living life. You know, we can accept what comes our way. We know that God has a plan. We know that Jesus loves us and he will never abandon us. And that because of that great joy and that great encounter, that we have enormous hope. And you know, the devil hates hope. He hates hope. He wants despair. He wants you to give up. He wants you to say, "I've had enough, I'm done," and walk away. But we don't do that because we have had that wonderful encounter with Jesus. All right, I got to go. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. I will be with you again tomorrow, God willing. Thank you for being a part of my day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you and God love you.
Rest in me.